that they're not going to give him his Miranda warning or advise him that he has a lawyer means that they're treating him more as a terror suspect than a regular domestic criminal.
What do they have to do to justify this?
You're listening to WCCO and WCCO HD, Minneapolis, St. Paul. We're carrying national CBS coverage of the arrest, the capture of Jokhar Tsarnaev, who is the bombing in the Boston Marathon, is the suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing. Now back to the network.
Bombs unexploded that he might know about, that there's some other plot in effect that he might be able to give information about that could be thwarted. And that's the essence of what's happening here. It's a pretty tough standard. And what you risk by doing it is you risk ticking off a federal judge. If you get information, you risk the possibility of not being able to use that information at trial. But I suspect the federal authorities believe they have so much information and so much evidence against the suspect that they really don't need his confession to prove a case. They can prove their criminal case against him without the confession, and they can hopefully get information from him through this interrogation that they feel will help them on the terror front. So it's sort of a no-lose proposition, but it does implicate some pretty substantial constitutional issues going forward.
CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen. Again, President Obama is expected to speak shortly about the events in Watertown, Massachusetts today. Peter Mayer is standing by waiting for the president. Peter, do we have any indication? Is this a short statement, a long speech? What do you think?
I think it'll be relatively short, knowing President Obama. He's not one to deliver long speeches in situations like this, maybe 5 to 7 minutes, I would think, tops on this. I was just sitting here thinking, Bill, as we wait for the president, what a high-tech dragnet this has been from start to finish. The video images, going online, using the social networks, putting the video images on YouTube. And then tonight we learn from the Massachusetts State Police Chief, Colonel Albin, that they used a helicopter-mounted device that checks for heat waves, and that they were able to detect from the sky that this guy was indeed inside this boat and moving. So from start to finish, high-tech law enforcement was very much in force, and that's why they have this guy in custody, and however tenuously it is, he is still alive.
It truly is amazing, Peter, what technology was implemented here to bring us to this point. The visual images alone are just startling, and certainly has revolutionized the way police respond to crimes like this when there are so many cameras everywhere and so much you know, other technology available to you.
Well, people of a certain age will remember that the FBI's most wanted would be posted on bulletin boards in United States post offices around the country, and that's the way they did it, or they'd print their pictures in newspapers or tack them on billboards or on telephone poles in the old days. And now you just put it on Twitter and let her rip, and that's what happened here.
Yeah, and you have to wonder how much old-fashioned gumshoe work it would have taken to solve this case even 10 or 20 years ago.
Well, I think it takes some old-fashioned gumshoe know-how on the part of police officers to do this, and there are still so many unanswered questions about this, as all of the authorities pointed out. What in the world possessed these men to do what they did? You know, there's no sense from what we understand that they were plants who were sent here by Al-Qaeda. They were brought to the United States by their family as young children. But how did they get radicalized? How did they get to the point where they concocted these bombs with pressure cookers?
Let's go back to CBS News legal analyst Andrew Cohen, who has some thoughts. Andrew.
Yeah, Bill, I just want to say, you know, we're 18 years to the day of the Oklahoma City bombing, April 19th, 1995. And you remember the sketches there were sketches, right? There was one tiny surveillance camera. It caught the Ryder truck, Timothy McVeigh's Ryder truck, going by. There was no facial recognition except at the McDonald's from earlier. It was nothing compared to the surveillance videos and photos that we've seen in this case. So you talk about 18 years, you talk about a generation, and this generation is completely different in the way law enforcement both had the resources to get this information from all the surveillance cameras on Boylston Street, and then to even last night at the 7-Eleven to have the surveillance camera there as well. I think it's changed the way that law enforcement does its business, and it allows crowdsourcing, right? The essential law enforcement crowdsourcing to get the information out to the American people. And of course, the American people all have cell phones that take photos as well. So we've seen in 18 years a huge change, as Peter was saying, in the way law enforcement is able to do this.
And we know that the, here's the president right now in the White House.
Good evening, everybody. Tonight, our nation is in debt to the people of Boston and the people of Massachusetts. After a vicious attack on their city, Bostonians responded with resolve and determination. They did their part as citizens and partners in this investigation. Boston police and state police and local police across the Commonwealth of Massachusetts responded with professionalism and bravery over five long days. And tonight, because of their determined efforts, we've closed an important chapter in this tragedy. I've been briefed earlier this evening by FBI Director Mueller. After the attacks on Monday, I directed the full resources of the federal government to be made available to help state and local authorities in the investigation and to increase security as needed. And over the past week, close coordination among federal, state, and local officials, sharing information, moving swiftly to track down leads, has been critical to this effort. They all worked as they should, as a team. And we are extremely grateful for that. We owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to all our outstanding law enforcement professionals. These men and women get up every day. They put on that uniform. They risk their lives to keep us safe. And as this week showed, they don't always know what to expect. So our thoughts are with those who were wounded in pursuit of the suspects, and we pray for their full recovery. We also send our prayers to the Collier family, who grieve the loss of their son and brother, Sean. He was born to be a police officer, said his chief at MIT. He was just 26 years old. And as his family has said, he died bravely in the line of duty, doing what he committed his life to doing, serving and protecting others. So we're grateful to him. Obviously, tonight there are still many unanswered questions. Among them, why did young men who grew up and studied here as part of our communities and our country resort to such violence? How did they plan and carry out these attacks, and did they receive any help? The families of those killed so senselessly deserve answers. The wounded, some of whom now have to learn how to stand and walk and live again, deserve answers. And so I've instructed the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security and our intelligence community to continue to deploy all the necessary resources to support the investigation, to collect intelligence, and to protect our citizens. We will determine what happened. We will investigate any associations that these terrorists may have had, and we'll continue to do whatever we have to do to keep our people safe. One thing we do know is that whatever hateful agenda drove these men to such heinous acts cannot prevail. Whatever they thought they could ultimately achieve, they've already failed. They failed because the people of Boston refused to be intimidated. They failed because, as Americans, we refuse to be terrorized. They failed because we will not waver from the character and the compassion and the values that define us as a country, nor will we break the bonds that hold us together as Americans. That American spirit includes staying true to the unity and diversity that makes us strong, like no other nation in the world. In this age of instant reporting, tweets, and blogs, there's a temptation to latch on to any bit of information, sometimes to jump to conclusions. But when a tragedy like this happens, with public safety at risk and the stakes so high, it's important that we do this right. That's why we have investigations. That's why we relentlessly gather the facts. That's why we have courts. And that's why we take care not to rush to judgment, not about the motivations of these individuals, certainly not about entire groups of people. After all, one of the things that makes America the greatest nation on earth, but also one of the things that makes Boston such a great city, is that we welcome people from all around the world, people of every faith, every ethnicity, from every corner of the globe. So as we continue to learn more about why and how this tragedy happened, let's make sure that we sustain that spirit. Tonight, we think of all the wounded still struggling to recover. Certainly, we think of Crystal Campbell. We think of Ling Su Lu. We think of little Martin Richard. Their lives reflected all the diversity and beauty of our country. And they were sharing a great American experience together. Finally, let me say that even as so much attention has been focused on the tragic events in Boston, understandably, we've also seen a tight-knit community in Texas devastated by a terrible explosion. And I want them to know that they are not forgotten. Our thoughts, our prayers are with the people of West Texas, where so many good people lost their lives, some lost their homes, many are injured, many are still missing. I've talked to Governor Perry and Mayor Muska, and I've pledged that the people of West will have the resources that they need to recover and rebuild. And I want everybody in Texas to know that we will follow through with those commitments. All in all, this has been a tough week. But we've seen the character of our country once more. And as president, I'm confident that we have the courage and the resilience and the spirit to overcome these challenges and to go forward as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much, everybody.
President Obama speaking in the White House briefing room. A brief message thanking the people of Massachusetts and especially the police agencies there for their work in capturing the one suspect in the Boston Marathon bombing after his older brother was killed in a shootout last night. The president said, "We've closed an important chapter in this tragedy." Correspondent Peter Mayer covers the White House. Peter, this is closing a chapter, but it's hardly the end of the story.
And the president made that clear also here tonight, Bill, as he mentioned the many unanswered questions. Why did young men who grew up in the United States, went to school here, resort to violence, as the president put it? How did they plan the attacks? Did they have any help? Was this a domestic-inspired situation where these two brothers just got together and decided to do this? Or were they inspired by some foreign entity, perhaps a terrorist group? This is what authorities will be hoping to get, assuming that this man survives from serious wounds. He's, again, for those just joining us, being treated at a hospital in Boston. The president, again, in a highly personal speech, always goes to the heart of it in mentioning the victims, as he did in Aurora, Colorado, as he did, sadly, in Newtown, as he did when he went to Tucson after the shooting of Congresswoman Giffords. The president said the families deserve the answers. The families of those who were killed, the wounded deserve answers. And he has instructed the federal authorities to continue to, in his words, deploy all the resources to support this investigation and to make sure that Americans are protected as these questions remain unanswered. So the president again gave a sort of pep talk to the people of the region, saying that Boston refused to be intimidated and Americans won't be terrorized. This is the kind of common thread of themes that he's followed throughout this entire week-long ordeal. And you heard the president say that this has been a very tough week. He said, all in all, this has been a tough week, but we've seen the character of the country once more. And it's also been the unstated fact, a tough week for him, too, with the loss on the gun issue and this Boston tragedy, which hit close to home for him because he has personal ties there himself.
Correspondent Peter Mayer. The U.S. attorney in Boston, Carmen Ortiz, made the point in the briefing about 45 minutes ago that this is an ongoing and active investigation. The police work has been done in terms of capturing the suspect, but now her work, it seems, is just beginning. CBS News correspondent Steve Kathan is in Watertown, Massachusetts right now. Steve, walk us through the events of these past few hours.
Well, you know, it began with this lockdown in this city that went for a 20-block area where police and teams went door-to-door and street-to-street looking for this suspect all day long. It didn't turn out so well. The police had nothing to report as the end of the day came and said they had been through the area and were confident that he was not around and that people were safe, and that they were able to lift the order for people to stay home and people would be able to go out and about. Well, one man did on Franklin Street here in Watertown, went out in his backyard, saw blood on his boat, peeled away the covering to it, and saw a man in there, and that's what drew police to the scene. There was an exchange of gunfire. It went on for a couple of hours. Finally, the suspect was taken away, injured, and cheers went up, not only here at this location, but along the street as police left, and that's how it came to an end. Just when it seemed like police hadn't been able to come up with anything in their exhaustive search in this 20-block area, and then suddenly a break in the case just moments later.
Steve Kathan, live for us this evening in Watertown, Massachusetts, at the end of a very long day. A great sigh of relief goes up among all the people there that this incident is over, the suspect has been captured, and everyone, as they say, can rest easy tonight. This concludes our CBS News continuing coverage of the events in the Boston area today. Along with producer Charlie Kay, I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.